And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. What was the significance of this event, this nativity of the Blessed Virgin? St. Louis de Montfort gives us an idea of the significance of the birth of Mary when he said, God the Father assembled all the waters and he named it the sea. He gathered all his graces and called it Mary. But even before him, the Holy Ghost himself has told us that all the glory of the king's daughter is within in golden borders. Supposing that you could make for yourself a mother, supposing that you had all the time and equipment in the world to form such a mother, and you were told that you were going to be the most important person in the whole world, what kind of a mother would you make for yourself? Surely, you would endeavor to make your mother as lovely as possible. In the same way, it was only natural that our blessed Lord make for himself the best of mothers. He was going to be the greatest man who would ever live. Even more, he who is God was going to be made man. What manner of woman do you think would befit such a one? The best, surely. When Adam and Eve lost grace by original sin, God had already decreed from eternity that man would be saved by the precious blood of his Son. Only God could pay fully the debt due to God. When the time came, God did not look down on earth searching for the right woman to bear the God-man. She was made for the very purpose of bringing forth the Christ. Our Lord's words to the prophet Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the bowels of thy mother, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and made thee a prophet unto the nations, can be said to apply even more to the Blessed Virgin Mary. With our salvation in view, she was filled with grace more than angel or man can ever possess. Such a son as Christ must have a worthy mother. He came to save sinners, so it would not be fitting that he should come tainted with sin. And that is the reason for her immaculate conception. Hence, Our Lady's birth is tied intimately with the redemption of the world by our Lord. Our Lady's birth is important because from eternity, she was decreed to be the mother of the Redeemer. We may say that it sparked off the story of our redemption. God did not will that we be saved by any other way except by the death of Christ, in the same way he did not will that any other woman bear his son, except the Blessed Virgin Mary. The nativity of Mary is important then because our very salvation was tied to it. Mary was formed and born to undo what our first parents did by original sin. Mary's birth marked the defeat of Satan. In today's matins, St. Augustine tells us that the mother of our race, Eve, brought sin to the world, but the mother of our Lord brought salvation into the world. Eve was the author of sin. Mary was the author of our merit. While Satan was yet glorying in his perceived triumph, Mary, by her birth, crushed his head. The birth of Mary happened because of our salvation. Christ would not have been made man if we had no need of salvation. So, in a certain sense, Mary, therefore, would not have been born, but for our need of salvation. All the work and effort, if we may use such expressions, that went into the creation of God's masterpiece was for the purpose of saving us from sin. So this feast is a reminder of how valuable we are before God, and also that Mary was morally necessary for our salvation. The birth of Mary was the first visible sign that our salvation was at hand. God bestowed to her the fullness of every grace and virtue and beauty, first of all for his glory, but this was also done for our sake. God wished before time that we obtain every single grace necessary for our salvation through her intercession. He decreed that she, who has found grace with God, should be the surest means of obtaining the grace of God. So let us not allow this privilege which our Blessed Mother possessed from birth to go unused. For it was for our sakes, after all, that she was so adorned. Is it not amazing to know that Mary has been given the task of looking after us, to realize that she has been made a mother by Christ so as to lead us to our heavenly home? Mary is a proof that if we are faithful to grace, we will always obtain an increase of sanctifying grace. From her birth, she increased in grace, even up to the very end of her life. We too can grow in holiness if we are faithful to the law of God. And should it happen that we fall out of grace, let us remember that Mary, at the foot of the cross, became also the refuge of sinners. If we feel ashamed to come to our Redeemer for forgiveness, let us seek the help of his mother, for she is there to make easier our access to her son. Remember, he who is the King of glory is also the son of Mary. St. Louis de Montfort again tells us that Mary has been given half the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God's mercy. She is the treasure of the house of God, she has been given complete authority in the dispensation of the graces of God. And the graces of God are made for us. It is impossible that any soul approach Mary in prayer without being answered. History has testified time and time again to this truth. Mary from birth is also a model of humility for us. She, whom the angels gazed upon with wonder from heaven, hid herself from men out of her own will. She possessed the full use of reason because she was free from original sin. She was more beautiful than even the angels. She was fairest of the children of men. She was fair as the moon and bright as the sun. And yet she kept herself for none in the world. She, who is the delight of God and angels, wished to go unnoticed by the world. We too ought to imitate her in this virtue, which is a condition of every other virtue. Mary possessed more wisdom at her birth than any other person would ever possess. And yet she chose to remain unknown and unheard. This is especially an important lesson for us in these times of crisis in the church. It is true that we are privileged to belong to this little flock that is persevering in the faith, but let us be rather humbled than be made proud by this fact. Mary's response, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord," at the Archangel Gabriel's message, should teach us that our being true Catholics imposes on us the obligation of practicing humility, and she is willing and able to help us grow in humility. We need only ask her for help. Mary gave herself to God from the very beginning of her life. Whatever she did was for the glory of God. We too can imitate her in this. She fulfilled perfectly the counsel of St. Paul, who said, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Mary, therefore, by her life, has taught us that the more we give to God, the more we will receive. Therefore, brethren, on this feast of the Nativity of Mary, let us beseech our Lord so that through her intercession we may obtain eternal salvation, of which her birth was the beginning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.